Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 69, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, February 15th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and O'Brien the stairway to heaven.
Courtesy of Hannah Soltis. And also, that take on me, AK, was a guy named Nick Wright, and I said somebody else's name. My bad, Nick. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
A Wendy's Greykinator with a half pound of fresh, never-frozen keef? Thank you to Christy Yamaguchi, man. We're talking about fast food, and look, if you somehow cleverly weave keef into it, I'll say it.
Is that from an story? Ad? That's not like you lip syncing.
I mean,
I
guess if you just, that's just me sort of reworking, or Christy Yamaguchi main in this case, reworking a slogan for the Wendy's Baconator with a half pound of fresh, never frozen beef.
Those two, Hannah and Christy Yamaguchi main, are like the, it's like the Cold War out here. They're very complimentary to one another, but they're clearly the two great hegemonic powers.
I wonder if
out
there's like
in
a
the
phone
AKA
line.
Universe.
Yeah, that they like pick up, just right. That rings the other one immediately. Like, in this. I don't want to step on your toes.
That's right.
But if it is not hot enough, I will blow it out the water.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore. He is Mr. Andrew T.
What up? I, even less than usual, didn't come prepared with an AK today.
How even less? You're just owning it this time rather than like panicking your way into it?
Sometimes I've like, sometimes I've had one that I sounded good in my head and I couldn't execute.
Right.
Sometimes, the first like 3 times I was on the show, I did not understand how it worked somehow. And then I feel like last time I almost had a good one, but...
Have you done Dr. T and the Women? You have, right?
I feel like... And then we just settled into low T. Low
right,
tea.
Andrew, low T.
Which someone, tea. I believe, in maybe at the San Francisco show, like, referred to me to my face. One of the
as low T.
Nice. Low T. TI-82.
So that's me, I guess.
TI-82 is pretty
People used to call me T-1000 in high school.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
It's like, kill people's moms.
Right.
There we go. Lifting brisk
with
ice
your hands. With your bare hands.
That's brisk, baby.
Such an upsetting scene.
I know. A lot so of fun, though.
Blood in the milk is gross.
Right. Yeah. Just
that old farm
so
song.
Terminator
blood
2.
In the milk.
Yeah.
Blood in. Oh.
Blood in the milk.
Blood in the milk.
All right, Andrew, we're going to get
Save
to
us,
know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to take our listeners through a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about Nike claiming a scalp in the culture wars. They shut down that sporting good place.
Yeah.
Yeah, in your face, loser. No, we'll talk about what I was just talking about. Also, Amazon bailed on HQ2 in Long Island City. Talk about that. Frozen 2 has become the most watched animated film trailer ever, so we'll talk about why that's dark as fuck. It's a dark trailer. And then all sorts of politics shit. But first, Andrew, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I'll just say my most recent search was for a just to make sure I had the proportions right on a fried bologna sandwich.
Oh,
yes.
Actually, some of the hosts of the Daily Zeitgeist may have gotten in on.
I already felt left out.
Bologna night.
Now you're.
I know. We were just like DMing him videos. Like, hey, daddy.
It's almost like the meat is creamy.
Yeah. Well, it started because full disclosure. We hung out.
Yeah,
and you made a fried bologna sandwich that was so decadent that I have a feeling like my health insurance just went up if they found out I ate this.
I, in retrospect, the only side dish we should have had is just like a candy dish full of Lipitor. It was gross.
So fried bologna is a like poor, white person
they
country
nothing,
delicacy.
Yeah, there ain't nothing you can't turn around by making it at a house in Silver Lake.
There you go. There you go.
But I just I mostly wanted to make sure I was getting the right cheese and the right mustard with it. So we went.
There's
like,
rules to that shit?
No, but I just wanted to be like,
okay.
Make sure I wasn't fucking this.
Because I was like, if it's a broke boy sandwich and you have Coleman's mustard, like from the UK, I was like,
yeah, we got nice mustard, but the key is actually going to your grocery store deli, and anyone will do this. Don't get get whatever you want. It literally is meaningless. But go, because at the deli, if they have bologna, which I guess they don't always do, they can cut it any thickness for you. So the first time I did the sandwich, I basically was like, can you cut 1-inch discs of bologna for me?
Right.
One inch?
Yeah, it's about the size of
a hamburger.
The shit we had, was 2 half-inch rounds.
That's true. Okay.
So,
yeah,
it's basically you get like a solid hamburger patty's worth of bologna, and then you fry that motherfucker up, little mustard, provolone, and then the innovation we had was the oil that we used to fry the bologna was pepperoni grease.
Yeah.
And the only way to get pepperoni grease is to
make
fry
that
up
little
a
bacon
bunch
chips.
Of pepperoni
crispy pepperoni discs.
Anyway, Miles and I are about to die.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
We couldn't bring Jack in on this because he does have a family.
Yes.
He has people who depend on him.
Yeah, exactly. And with your wife being in medicine, healthcare would be like, if you eat that, I will sue you.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly. A wrap.
Don't put these children at risk.
Anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to make sure I had my memory correct on all those pieces.
And it was. It was delicious.
What kind of cheese?
Provolone.
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 And he made a delicious coleslaw.
Yeah.
Cabbage salad.
Pepperoni.
Made of pepperoni.
Prosciutto.
And just the fat part of bacon strips. He trimmed the fat off of bacon strip and
you
put
throw
that, in
that throw that meat away.
And, right. And bodega fruit salad.
I did make bodega fruit salad. Oh, this is an actual recipe that I didn't come up with this. Someone told I literally forget who, but someone taught me this recipe in New York because it is if you only have 10 minutes and you have to bring something nice-ish to someone's party, you can get the 3 ingredients for this thing at any bodega in New York and pretty much any store. All you need is fresh mint, dried dates, and oranges.
Ah.
And you just combine, you like dice cube the oranges and chop up everything else and like mix it all together. And then the acid from the orange juice like leaches out all the sugar from the dates. It's like crazy sweet.
It's delicious.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
You know, so we're living like Bodega Kings.
Yes, yeah. It really was. Yeah, we had a real bodega bash.
There we go.
Something like we might be some kind of bodega boys, I guess.
Oh, never. I mean, one day we can only wish that was show on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the bologna when it gets fried up? It just tastes nice
crispy,
and
crispy.
It gets crispy.
He was cutting slits in it so it didn't do the disc, like it didn't invert suddenly and become concave.
Oh, wow.
You know
I think the key is, it's a little bit, actually, it was only Miles's presence that made me draw parallels to, like, Japanese Hawaiian cuisine, but it is a lot like a spam musubi. It's like that, like...
Yeah, it's processed meat,
like
goo.
Potted meat with char on it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty much all you bring to the
table.
Can't
go wrong.
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated? Fried bologna sandwich.
on that note, actually, as a tangent to that, but it includes fried bologna, is I've been steaming meats lately.
Steamed meats.
Steamed meats.
Okay.
Because I went, you know what? This would have been also an acceptable search history. But somehow my Instagram suggestions has decided that one thing I'm very interested in is, you know what? It must have been from Salt Bae. But now I'm getting all kinds of Turkish meats suggested in my Instagram, like suggested feeds, I guess. I don't know.
Explore page.
Yeah, right, the explore page. It's real, real wild. But basically, must have been, maybe it was Christmas. It was the last time I saw my family. So yeah, Christmas time. I was in charge of the Christmas lunch/dinner. We eat at a weird time. And I did like beef ribs, basically like a layer of apple cider. This has become a weird cooking show. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's fine.
A layer of apple cider vinegar and soy sauce, and then veggies, and then a rack, and then the ribs on top, and then foil on top of that. Low, low, low heat for like 8 hours.
Whoa.
And that shit is so tender, the bones like slide out.
So
like,
tender is tender.
Correct.
Oh my goodness.
and then you just put it in super high heat or put it on a pan for like, you know, until there's color on the outside. It's so good.
Okay, steamed meats.
Steamed
in the building.
Steamed motherfucking meats. It sounds disgusting.
Is there any preparation of meats that is like you never hear about steamed meats? Is there a steamed meat I would have had? Like in a regular
The reason I bring it up is bologna, I think, is basically like the way they put together the big bologna is whatever filler and gristle, and then they steam that log.
Got it.
And that's why it's that very unnerving texture.
Right, right. And you were saying it gets kind of creamy when you grill it up?
Yeah, well, it stays creamy, but you notice the creaminess because you get the texture on the outside, and the contrast brings out the creaminess. I don't know. I don't think it makes it more creamy.
Right, right.
I don't know about meat physics, guys.
Yeah, don't worry. Well, this is the first episode of Bologna Boys.
What is something you think is overrated?
Pronouncing shit correctly.
Yes.
Oh, we just had Valentine's Day. That's fine.
I said that shit yesterday. Totally Valentine's Day.
The library. It's all fine.
Yeah.
Some things I don't like milk.
I don't mind
M-E-L-K.
That.
M-E-L-K.
Try,
I don't like
try
crayon.
Me again.
Crayon.
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 Crayons.
Pillow.
Crowns.
And that's it. Everything else is fine. Just don't come around me saying pillow.
Milk is somewhat appropriate because it sounds like you have a milk bubble in your throat as you're saying it.
Or what about both?
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 Yeah.
Like both with
like
a W?
Like both, but with like an L.
Both.
Oh, yeah, both. Like, you know, it sounds like people are saying both.
Yeah.
No, man. Or multiply. Multiply. I used to go to high school grocery, say multiply like multiply.
Yeah, I'm fine with all that.
Yeah.
There's almost no level of community. Like, you know, you get it. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care. I just like, I guess you know what it is? It's more that like I have just, my ear picks it up and then I just kind of get fixed. I'm like, both.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go. Yo, excuse me, ma'am, a doily.
Dolly.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's overrated. I mean, look, all of us are. Jack's pretty close, but everyone else in podcasting is like, we're you know, we have a vested interest in busting out of that like news broadcaster like method of speaking.
Right.
So
right.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. My mom can't even listen. She's like, you curse so much. It's like, I don't even know half the words you use. So we're not broadcasting. We're podcasting.
I thought I was cutting out the ums and ahs from my speech. And I think I genuinely have, like, since I've been forced to listen to myself on microphones so much.
Right.
But it's not even close to good or professional.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, baby. That's why we podcast.
Yeah.
Listening to yourself is...
the worst.
The worst. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I did not realize the number of people that thought counting cards... like you do in blackjack,
right?
Was about like literally counting every single card that came out,
like saying 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, like okay, ace of spades, ace of clubs, five of diamonds. You know, it's that is impossible,
right?
I mean, I'm sure it's not actually impossible,
not for the greats,
but yeah, but it's not necessary. You can gain a statistical edge on the house just by keeping track of the difference between the number of high cards and low cards that have been out.
Right. It's actually a system for simplifying the process of like knowing where you are in the deck, essentially.
Yeah.
Rather than using like a memory mansion or whatever, like that one technique.
And
and
it's super easy is the thing.
Like,
I mean, the only thing about counting cards in blackjack is that like the stakes are very high if you fuck up.
Right.
Because
right.
It matters. You can't be off by one, or you can, but it changes the math significantly if you're off by anything. But really, it's just like you're just going like, okay, minus one, plus one, plus one, plus one, minus one, plus one, plus one, minus one, minus one.
Well,
minus
let's, one. You know what we should do? Just let's go to Vegas. Right. Get thrown out of a casino.
I almost did last time I was there.
Oh, really?
I wasn't actually even counting cards, but my friend was playing a weird version of blackjack wherein...
you have a piece of paper out and you write out all the cards that have come out?
I mean, technically you can. It's not illegal. But it was a version wherein, like... blackjacks were like extra valuable somehow or something like that. And so obviously you can only get blackjacks when there are a lot of aces left in the deck. And thus it makes sense to keep track of how many aces have been played.
So is this good for just single deck or like if it like you're in a 6 to 8 deck shoe?
It's just about the proportion.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it's you could do any number of decks. You just hard to keep track.
Well, card sharks, you know, hit us up with your tips too.
But card counting is in movies, it's like you see all the like numbers
Going
around people's
mind.
Head and like it's one of those genius tropes from movies that aren't actually signs of genius, like figuring out a Rubik's Cube really quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, there's just a trick to that. You don't have to do that. Or...
right, exactly. Right. It's that, like, I guess if you could very quickly in the moment independently figure out the trick, that would be a genius thing to do.
I just invented card counting.
Yeah. If you could independently derive card counting and do it as if, because it's just like a mindless skill that you can practice, that any fool could practice.
Right.
So that's my challenge to the Zeit Gang. Everyone get out there.
Yep, start recording your winnings.
Bust
and
them casinos.
Whoever makes the most off of Andrew T's method will get a guest spot.
Yep.
So taking down the house did not need to be a group of students from an Ivy League school. It could have been a group of like Arizona State students or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Sun Devils, dude. Come on.
I know.
Bro.
No, shout out to Arizona State. I'm just saying, go do it, guys.
Anyone could execute. I think the idea behind that book was a little bit like, oh, they derived
right,
the card
they came
counting
up with their
scheme.
Own system. Right.
But it's not that hard.
All right. Let's talk about Nike, guys.
Yes.
So there was a gentleman you might remember who broke into the news cycle. His name was Steven Martin. He saw the Nike ad featuring Cap, and he decided he was going to sell off all of his Nike inventory in his Colorado sports apparel store and refused to sell Nike stuff going forward.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
That was earlier within the last calendar year.
Yeah. It was like October, I think,
October,
when the Cap
okay.
ad came out. Yeah.
Yeah. So like 4 to 5 months ago.
Or September, yeah.
And, you know, he knew it might hurt business, but he was willing to make that sacrifice because he knew that the American people would be on his side in the end. And
well,
what's happening now, Miles?
Well, I mean, as he said, people were like, yo, this is a big move. He said, yes. His own quote was, being a sports store without Nike is like being a gas station without gas. Whoa. That's all. If you knew that, your business model is fucked, my man. And right. He even said, you don't trample over the men who have given Colin Kaepernick and me the right to free speech. Because again, he obscured what his protest was about.
Right.
And cut to now, the store has to close because lack of business, because he's a gas station that doesn't sell gas.
Yeah. And he has the quote that is the most satisfying quote that I've read thus far this year. He said, as much as I hate to admit this, perhaps there are more Colin Kaepernick supporters out there than I realized.
Like, yeah, dude. Really? Well, I mean, but it's also like, no.
It's not even that, it's that.
It's not even that. It's unfortunately, there's more like people who don't want to wear Reebok.
Right.
And he realized. But also, it's like a thing. It's like his, what was it? He was counting on that core, like 33 and change percent of racists.
Right.
Being so enthused.
Right.
That they would be like,
yeah.
Well, I have to buy some.
I'm Adidas. Buying my next badminton set there.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is. What he did is exactly what Howard Schultz is doing. He is making a broad judgment about what the consistency of the American public is and what their like likes and dislikes are based on presumably a handful of people he surrounds himself with.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And so he thinks that everybody is as mad at Nike as he is, so he's going to, you know, get in on this business opportunity to like get the whole town voting with their wallet for him and against Colin Kaepernick. And it turns out people were not as much on his side as he thought, just like Howard Schultz does not have as much support as he thought when he was on the golf course talking to his friends who are all billionaires.
Friends and employees.
I think it was literally a fishbowl he wore on his head where his voice just echoed into his own skull.
Right.
Right, Howard? Right, yeah. Oh, I'm doing it. I'm running.
Let's talk about Amazon, you guys. Amazon bailed.
They bailed.
HQ2.
Peace out.
It's
peace
over.
Out, Long Island City.
Now you see what you did.
You see what you
New
did?
New York.
You do the nice thing and offer one of the biggest companies on earth $3 billion giveaway and taxes and shit, and then misread the room when locals are getting really upset about that?
Yeah.
So I was not able to fully catch up on this. How did, like, was it actually the protest? Did that shit actually
work? There was, like, there was a united front of New York politicians who were like, this is fucked. And they were pushing back a lot. And I think Amazon at one point was sort of testing the water and be like, well, we could leave. Oh, you know, you were here for that to happen. And they were like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, then what? And then they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't gonna end. And yes, I think a lot of people, especially activists who were opposed to Amazon coming through and wrecking the city, this is definitely a victory for them because, I mean, going up against a multinational, gigantic behemoth like Amazon, you're like, you'd think it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. At the same time, the way it's being covered by the politicos of the world is Amazon to New York, drop dead. That's the headline on the front page of Politico. So it's like, Amazon screws New York is how it's being read in a lot of the mainstream media.
Dumped New York before they could get dumped.
Right.
Yeah. What a fortnight for Jeff Bezos.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What a time.
Right. What a time to be Jeff Bezos.
I mean, you think, right? I don't understand still like why it ended up in New York when, again, the whole thing was a little weird when it was like, what city is going to beg us the hardest for us to come here to save their dying town only to go to New York,
right.
like a city that
right.
is not in the process of deteriorating? There are like many other cities that could have actually benefited from it.
Right. You would think that if their plan was to bend the city over a barrel and just, you know, fuck them for all the money that they possibly could, that they would have chosen somebody with less of a strong bargaining position than New York City.
Yeah, and citizens who are very aware of, like, the effect of it.
But
that's what I was gathering from third-hand pundits on Twitter was that, like, because it was the whole bidding process. Right, was, I mean, like all fake-ass bidding wars, was just meant to, like, drive up the, you know, give them leverage, like, invent leverage, essentially.
Yeah, of, like, what concessions are you willing to make?
Because, obviously, no fucking person who is, like, has any power or money at Amazon wants to live anywhere besides one of four cities in the United States. It's not like
right.
they're going to hold, like, open this place in Wichita or whatever.
That's why it's HQ2. and not main HQ.
Right.
Like, oh, the lesser people work there. I don't know what what they were thinking.
Yeah,
I
mean, but honestly, even then, right? Like,
yeah.
Like it's like they're never gonna go to like a some right wing tax haven or whatever, despite because it's like no one fucking wants to live in those like backwards ass places. So it was always gonna be someplace like New York.
Right.
So they had to pretend like, oh, we might not bring it to New York.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, look, Bezos could have been the fucking king of New York if he had been like, I don't need $3 billion from y'all. I'll do this anyway. And guess what? I'll bless the MTA
with
like some shit and fix your subway. Something like that. Like, and then get people more on board. But instead coming in and be like, give me this, give me that, give me that. Oh, I might make your housing market even more impossible.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's almost like tech people are just people that had like one kind of good idea at a time when the barrier for that was very low, but actually they're just as short-sighted as any other type of business person.
Yeah. You don't become a billionaire by having empathy for large groups of people and deciding to do right by society. You become a billionaire by finding a like huge imbalance and exploiting the shit out of it over and over and over again until you have all the money. And that's, that's what he was trying to create with this whole process. And he, once he had it, people were like, that doesn't seem okay. And he was like, fine, then I'm taking my ball and going home. And, I'm sure the rich are going to be like, this is just like Atlas Shrugged, dude. This is like, you fuck with us. You don't let us do whatever we want. And we're going to take our ball and go home. And now we'll see how screwed you are.
By the way, it's like, please, billionaires, fuck off to your gulch.
Yeah.
I would love to see you all leave.
And leave your money behind, though.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Who cares?
Well, there's that group of millionaires and billionaires who are like, please tax us. They're like, because we know you'll probably come for us with your pitchforks in like 40 years.
It's like,
so please tax us. We
that
won't know.
Are taxes, like the top marginal rate of taxes is a like not going to the guillotine payment.
Right.
Right.
That's what it's for.
Right.
Right.
Oh, well, chin up, Bezos.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll recover from this one.
But yeah. AOC is now calling for the abolition of billionaires, which seems like a good... I mean, we got to draw a line somewhere. Why not make it at billion?
Yeah.
Billion seems like too much.
Yeah.
I think billion's too much.
I'm going to be honest. 900 million's too much.
I think...
Now, Andrew.
But now we're negotiating.
Yeah, here we go. All right, 999.
And now you got me to come to the table. Hey, all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back, and President Deals narrowly averted another shutdown. There will be no shutdown.
All right.
Because he got all the funding for his, he got less funding than he
could have ever asked for.
Than he initially asked for and was granted before the first shutdown. But in addition to signing that deal, he is also going to declare a national emergency. So
yeah,
he wins, I guess, right?
I mean, look, yeah. you avert one problem and start up a whole other one, baby, because his president fires because he's constantly starting them. And yeah, look, the government's funded, great. You know, when you look though at how far this deal fell apart, you really, like, even if you're Republican, you have to be like, yo, this guy fucking sucks, right? Because if you remember, in 2017, Democrats were willing to give him $25 billion to get the Dreamers a path to citizenship. They
really?
$25 on the table.
$25 billion?
Yes.
Oh, for his wall.
Yes,
that's
for
right.
his wall. And he was like, nah.
Right.
I need more.
What is the projection for actually building this thing?
It was something astronomical that didn't even make sense.
Yeah.
And it was a thing that wasn't feasible anyway. But
yeah.
They're like, dude, 25, but in exchange, help people who were brought here as children try and get a path to citizenship. He said, hell no. Then he made another offer like early last year that was really firm. The Democrats laughed him out the room. Then in December, what they offered him, like 1.6, after he totally lost the House, he completely burned through the years where he had control of Congress.
Right.
Loses the House. Now you have an even weaker position. Here's $1.6 billion. He says no. Shutdown begins. Now you are eating $1.375 for slats.
Right.
No concrete and only 55 miles of that shit.
Huh. Oh.
So that's why, you know, I think a lot of people, especially on Fox, listen to how on Fox they realize too, on paper, they're like, then why do we shut the government down only for you to eat this tiny ass deal and then do an end around by declaring a state of emergency?
I think he knows right now the numbers that have been released. The deal looks like it stinks. It really does. I mean, a lot of people on the right are going to be sitting there and saying, what was the whole point of the shutdown? Because I think people thought you shut down the government to try to budge the Democrats. And if they didn't budge, your next step was going to be declaring a national emergency. So I think now he's unfortunately in a position where he put out there in the very same way. He has to learn to stop doing this. He put out there, you know, Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Didn't work out that way. He put out there, I'm not going to budge. I'm going to dig my heels in. And then when you don't, people are disappointed in you. So no matter what he does now he's saying, I'm going to redirect more other federal funds into this. So don't worry, you're still going to get the wall. We're still going to figure it out, even if I have to do it by executive order.
Oof.
But the thing is, this whole shutdown was completely absurd and a waste of time if it wasn't going to force him to kind of say, you know what, my way or the highway, because this is a national emergency. Either it's a national emergency or it's not.
Right.
Sorry, Fred Durst. It ended up being the highway.
It's a good thing he doesn't tune into the Rachel Maddow show, because she was really giving it to him there, huh? Was that not who that was? Fox?
And again, that's why Fox, you know, they also, because they're in his ear and he just lives through the TV and he's like, oh no, they're mad at me. Yeah. I couldn't just, because the funny thing was, he even fucked up the opportunity, right? A normal sort of sane president could have pointed to the statistics that said illegal crossings were at an all-time low.
Yeah.
And just flexed and been like, flawless victory, Mortal Kombat, do something about it.
Right.
But he didn't, and instead obscured those numbers and created an emergency that is not there.
Right.
Since we know that, like Trump is a puppet being operated by many people, but one of the main operators is, you know, Rupert Murdoch dictating down to Fox, like, why aren't they just finding the silver lining and declaring a victory on this? Like, so clearly, like, someone has an interest in keeping this going.
Well, because the fallout of declaring an emergency, it sets up a lot of weird shit in the future, basically.
Yeah, right, I don't think it's like a one-to-one, okay, Murdoch speaks, everybody immediately comes, like, snaps to. I think it's probably more of a situation where Murdoch has a heavy hand on the scale, but they still employ a bunch of people who consider themselves journalists.
Right, right, right.
So there's going to be a couple days before.
Right,
they
I guess
really
that's true.
Get,
yeah. There's always, like, every time something happens, there's always clearly, like, the, like, throw it at the wall period.
Right,
on
Smith
Fox News.
We'll
yeah.
talk about it for, like, a day.
And they try all kinds of different shit. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Well, because, yeah, and I think the dilemma that the Republicans face is, okay, so now he's done something unprecedented and is using this declaration of an emergency to further this policy goal that is, like, it's all rhetoric that yeah. he's obscuring it. This whole emergency is manufactured, and a lot of people on the right were begging him to not do this because they can see, well, what happens when a Democrat is president and goes, oh, guess what? Climate change is an emergency, and now I need all this money, and I'm doing this shit. Fuck you. It's an emergency.
Yeah. Or yeah. What if they say what about, climate change yeah. is an emergency? That would be crazy.
Or gun control, right?
Right.
And you can't. And then that's what they're quaking about in their little booties, their boots, because this is a tactic that was not used before, and again causes another problem, because what he's done is circumvented the legislative process, because, you know, in literally Article 1 of the Constitution yeah. says that the Congress has the powers of appropriation. They control the purse.
Right.
So by him doing this, he's now stepping on their toes, and now you got stuff a little legal about it.
Except for the fact that, like, in the last, like, 15 years, 10 for sure, probably 15 years, like I feel like the left has come out on the short end of the stick on every sort of, like, asymmetric line crossing.
Yes.
Like, literally, like, whether it be, like, Supreme Court, and it's, like, the best they can point back to is, like, Bork, I guess.
Right.
You know, like, everything else, like, just every time either the Democrats cave or, like, you know, hypocrisy in my adult life has not held, you know, any conservative politician back.
Right.
So there is that. Like, I mean, I guess I would be like, are they really quaking in their boots? Because they'll just lie when it's 2021.
It will require a wholesale, like, sea change on behalf of the Democrats to now. And I don't think it's completely unrealistic now that everybody, like, people who vote for Democrats pay attention to politics much more closely than they used to yeah. and are, you know, much less willing to budge. But yeah, I agree. There's been both sides-ism, like, well, we have to work together on the side of the Democrats because they listen to the mainstream media who are horny for, like, people who cross the aisle. And,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Whereas on the right, like, they take their marching orders from Fox News, and Fox News is just, like, fucking scorched earth, man. Let's take them down.
The other thing, you know, speaking of, like, oh, well, at least you're at the table, like, despite the fact that this is, like, you know, in a sense a loss for Trump, we're still, like, putting a price tag on racism and people's humanity. So, like, in a sense, we all lose.
Yeah, right.
Too. Like, we're in the muck, and, like, we are just straight up debating, well, okay, what's the value of, like, it's not like this is wrong and you're a racist. It's like, it's a waste of money.
Right. What's the cost?
Yeah.
What's the cost to
fucking
be the boss?
Depressing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think
inevitable, but depressing.
Yeah. And it, what's tough too is like, you know, Nancy Pelosi has a couple options, right? Like, obviously, there'll be lawsuits because they're going to say this is illegal and unconstitutional to move money around, because Mick Mulvaney is saying things like, well, there's actually money in some emergency, like, military funds for like Northern California and Puerto Rico that we could just slide over here that hasn't been used yet. So that's where the money will come from. And I think that's a very targeted thing.
Like, you mean like because of the wildfires and Hurricane
Maria? Yeah, just being like, and also those are constituencies that Trump doesn't need to win over anyway. And I right. think it's also like, fuck it. Like, then your yeah. money's gone. And, you know, with that, because of the National Emergencies Act, there is a clause in which if one chamber tries to vote to terminate this declaration of an emergency, it would, and it passes one house, it would force the other chamber. So, you know, easily Nancy Pelosi could pass that in the House. Then we go to the Senate, and that would force Senate Republicans to be on record and say whether or not they support this emergency act. And if you're in Florida or other states where people are on the fence, like, and you're trying to defend a border wall that is just nationally unpopular,
right,
you're going to have a public fracturing in the Republican Party in the Senate. Now, even if that passes, that doesn't mean they can actually terminate it, because, you know, anyway, legally it can't happen that way. But it would force Republicans to go on record and split with the president. And, you know, that could be used against them and anyone running for office.
Yeah. At the same time, like, is there what is the eventual, like, news story? What, once they start building the wall, isn't it all just going to be Fox News showing pictures of a half built wall being like, they're building the wall, and everybody like shooting their guns off in the air? Like, what? I don't see what the negative story is that comes out that really drives home what a bullshit political cause this is.
What do you mean? Like,
well, right now it's unpopular, but it's not necessarily the sort of thing that would, you know, lose somebody an election.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, sure. I think it's just that, again, it'll probably be a thing that when a Democrat president tries to do the same thing, they'll just cry and act as if this has never happened
right,
before.
Right, right.
But it will have set the precedent where now a president with different values than them, as Nancy Pelosi said, could just trigger some shit that they absolutely hate.
But yeah, Jack, I think what you were saying too about the border wall, it's like, it's just a racist monument.
Right.
Like, it actually also won't hurt anyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? It won't have quite the negative effects that I think we're all thinking, because it's just a waste of money and a racist monument and shores up that sentiment.
Right.
But it doesn't actually do anything. So there is kind of that thing, right? Right? Like, no one's you're not going to see pictures of, like, children dying at that wall,
right,
or anything like that. So it doesn't mean anything, maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's why, like, the thing that Democrats have been able to win, like, run on and win on is healthcare, because that's something where the Republican position kills people, like,
yeah,
kills you and your family. The wall, even if it's unpopular, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a wedge issue that the left can ever, like, fully leverage in their direction, other than just, like...
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, you're just going to circle the wagons with your base, and
yeah,
you might not move the
right,
many people the other way. Yeah. But I guess the other thing, too, is, like, even Mick Mulvaney said, like, the Army Corps of Engineers is still, like, in a testing phase of what they could even possibly build. So, like,
right,
even then, it's yeah, a long way off. And then when you bring in the idea of a court battle into this, of them arguing, you know, can they prove that this is an emergency? They cannot. Like,
right,
all the stats say, like, illegal crossings have been on a decline since, you know, for years now. Why was it an emergency then?
Yeah.
Or why was it an emergency before? And then also the Constitution, the constitutional aspect of it is a whole other thing. I mean, it's, you know, hold on to your butts.
Right. I guess I could see one eventuality being that while the Army Corps of Engineers is down there building that wall, the Canadians come from the north and invade America.
Yes.
And, you know, we all know that's coming eventually.
I for one, bow to our Canadian overlords.
Yes.
I mean, we've been flanked. We've been outflanked tactically.
Right. All right, let's talk briefly about the Russia stuff.
Yeah.
So Andrew McCabe, I guess this isn't technically the Russia stuff. This is more...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Russia tea. It's Russian tea.
Right, Russian tea.
Being spilled.
FBI tea.
At the Russian tea room.
Oh, that's what we should call you.
FBI tea.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'm
well, because, you know, since there's another former government official writing a book, that means more gossip is coming out. Like, every time someone has a book, it's just a headline or two that everyone goes, oh, my God, but right, it's shit we already knew. So this time it's Andrew McCabe saying that there were discussions at DOJ of using the 25th Amendment to remove Trump. And like, there were conversations about, okay, who in the cabinet is on our team? Is this possible? Rod Rosenstein's like, nah, that's, he's like, nah, that's very inaccurate. But it's, you know, it's interesting timing considering, you know, Mr. Barr has just been confirmed as the new attorney general, and we'll see what happens there. But again, it's just more a story that maybe people at DOJ were thinking about how to get rid of this president, especially too when they were looking at sort of all the evidence in front of them. They were like, oh, we need to launch an obstruction investigation that hopefully will have enough momentum that someone can't stop it. So, you know.
Yeah.
Shit, we already knew.
The thing that always bums me out about this story is that the FBI seemed to be most up in arms and outraged about Trump after Comey was fired. Mm-hmm. And, like, Comey's such a schmuck.
Yeah.
That, like, it's just, it's hard to be like, yeah, let's take him down for firing Comey.
Like, what did the FBI even want?
Right.
But I think for the analysts and people who actually saw all the evidence that, they, like, in which they believe that Russia helped to fuck an election.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of motivation for law enforcement there, for even people who are, like, of principle to be like, we're looking at the facts, like, we can't, how the fuck are we just going to not do anything here?
Totally.
I mean, but I think lots of FBI agents are like, the fuck we're going to do is not doing anything and take a bigger budget.
Right.
I mean, that's clearly enough, a high enough proportion of FBI people's, like, calculus.
Yeah. And as much as Comey
is where we are,
as much as Comey has proved himself to be kind of a asshole, like narcissist, it is. I totally see why that would have been the moment where they're like, "Whoa, this guy's like acting like he has something terrible to hide."
Right.
Like, we should either really put the pedal to the metal on this investigation or talk to the people in his cabinet about like what they're seeing, like how they're feeling about shit.
You know, like Paul Manafort.
Right. Hey, what's he up to?
Oh, he's manafucked. Officially. Our boy, maybe. Because again, all the pardoning. But, you know, we said that Robert Mueller was like, yo, this guy was lying to us, and he breached his cooperation deal with us, and we need to punish him for this. And so Manafort's defense team was like, okay, well, what are you saying he lied about? Mueller comes with 5 examples.
Okay.
You only need to prove one to show that he violated the cooperation agreement. And Judge Amy Berman Jackson determined that Mueller could definitely prove that he was lying on 3 of the 5 accounts of certain deceptions, that he intentionally lied to him and other investigators about his contacts with Russian people and some other kickback payments. But the one that is most very juicy of all the lies that are exposed specifically is around his contacts with Konstantin Kalimnik, who, if you're not an actual journalist, you'll just be like, this dude's a spy. If you're a journalist, you say, someone who has connections to Russian intelligence. But we'll just call him a quote-unquote spy. And was meeting up with him, you know, exchanging at a New York cigar bar at, guess where, 666 Fifth Avenue. How poetic.
Oh,
the old Kushner building.
Yeah.
At this Havana Club cigar bar, whatever it's called. And they were Manafort was bringing internal polling data and other voter file information. Kalimnik was giving him messages from Oleg Deripaska. Rick Gates was there. And that's where they discussed a quote-unquote Ukrainian peace deal, which just means, yo, peace the fuck out of Ukraine so we can just annex this shit.
That's my Ukraine
and don't
now.
Say anything, bruh.
Right.
And so, yeah.
So that's them behaving in such a way that it would benefit Putin.
They are
like the central thing that keeps coming up is that Trump and his administration and the people working for him keep behaving as if they're part of Vladimir Putin's administration.
Yeah, or at the very least that they have to lie about the nature of their discussions with Russian entities about relieving sanctions.
Right.
And again, there are many ways that people look at it. Some people think that like the whole Trump Tower thing was for him to just lose and just run off to this mega deal the second he lost the presidential election and get that check. And then some people believe like maybe Russia was like, nah, bro, you're going to win.
Right.
Sorry, because we need this shit and we need you in there. So you're the president now. Either way, the quid pro quo is starting to become very clear here of what was going on. And now this Mueller prosecutor, Andrew Weissman, says in the filings, like, this meeting goes to the, quote, very heart of the investigation, which is the nature of contacts with people in the Trump organization and a campaign with Russian intelligence and other entities. But yeah, this is just, again, it's no matter which way you cut it, right? Like, you look at how Manafort was lying, It's that he's either lying because he can't roll on these oligarchs because the existential danger is amazing. The threat is insane, right? And that's why he didn't say anything. Or another one is because he had to protect the president. Because the alternative is, right, maybe if he told the truth and cooperated, the truth could be so damning to the president that the president might not even have the ability to pardon him. So you have to just lie, take that L, and cross your fingers, hope to die, that the president will pardon you. This is Judge Napolitano talking about, I don't know, trying to set up some kind of logic in which we are sympathetic to Paul Manafort going to jail for most of his life.
Yeah.
Real quick, what happened with Paul Manafort yesterday? They found that he his deal blew up because he wasn't being candid with the Mueller investigation.
Here's what they did with Paul Manafort. I never heard of this before. They had him testify before the same grand jury that indicted him. And then a federal judge found that he lied to that grand jury. This tells me that...
Not on all counts, though, right?
No. Of the five alleged lies, she found that he committed three. This tells me, A, he's exposed to more than 20 years in jail. That is so much jail time, he might very well be a candidate for a pardon, and the public might accept the pardon. It also tells me, B, Mueller is still on the hunt.
Yeah. And also, this dude is, what, 69 years old, Paul Manafort?
Yeah.
You might as well just get that, ask you which one on your tombstone now.
Right.
Take pepperoni.
Take that polonium tea. It's polonium tea, 500 Big Macs, or jail cell for the rest of your life.
Polonium tea, also a dope nickname for you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, here we go. But I mean, it's getting spicy. And look, again, the president declaring this emergency took all the wind out of the McCabe story and the Manafort story.
Well, there seems to be a general trend in the mainstream media that the only thing I'm hearing about the Mueller report is that there might not be a report that we ever get to see, that it might not have the details that we're all expecting. Like, it seems to be that the mainstream media, and like if you look at the front page of Drudge, there's a lot of links about this, but he's linking off to like ABC News and shit like that, where they're talking about how like the Mueller report isn't going to be shit. Like, get used to it, libs.
I mean, just think about this, right? If Paul Manafort, who is one of the only people that Trump has repeatedly been like, this guy's a patriot, man, they're fucking him over.
Right.
That's because he's telling lies that Trump is probably like, okay, this is what we're going to tell him.
Right.
Now your boy is caught up in three of these motherfucking lies.
Right.
And so what does that mean for what Trump's written testimony was, or what narrative he was going to try and pursue? The other thing is, because now this judge has determined that he violated his cooperation agreement by lying to investigators intentionally, that they verified the intent of his lying. It's hard for him to be able to take, if he has any conflicting testimony with people like Rick Gates. And the defense for other people are going to be like, oh, well, Rick Gates is a liar. I mean, Paul Manafort, look, I mean, he disagrees with him. And it doesn't matter anymore because Paul Manafort has been determined to be a liar. So he can't even fuck the party up like he thought he could by trying to contradict other testimony, because, my man, you've already been stamped with the liar. Like, no one's going to use you as a defense anymore.
Yeah.
And just actually before we wrap this whole Manafort thing up, there is one clip that people on Twitter always recycle, and on, you know, news blogs, we like to recycle this clip of when Paul Manafort was asked point blank on the news during the campaign about Trump's connections to Russia. And when you, with all of this news now, just listen to this humming and hawing is really one of my favorite moments of someone squirming.
Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
Wow.
Peace, bruh. Peace.
Oh, man. I know you can't convict someone for sounding like a liar, but this is fucking nuts. Yeah, it's always fucking nuts.
That's what I said. That's what he... That's clearly our position.
We're not Russian. What? Right.
If he just spontaneously broke into Russian. And just from a macro perspective, I feel like it's probably not the worst thing in the world for mainstream media to start getting people's expectations a little bit in check, because I do think that a lot of America now, because we've, you know, spent the last 2 years just, you know, scrambling over every scrap of details about the Mueller investigation, that people are expecting just a smoking gun, and he might not be able to prove without a doubt that Trump
maybe without a, like, you know, 100% nailed on. But I think any reasonable jury, if this were any other case, would be like, oh, yeah, this stinks. Oh, I could,
But I worry a little bit that even if he sort of legally has a smoking gun, we're at the point where he has seen enough about, you know, he and his team and the, you know, Justice Department have seen enough about how, you know, the people of interest in this case behave, that like those people, Trump and cronies, have no problem fully taking this to the like end of democracy.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
the
so
wheels come off. Yeah.
There is a real chance that like he may decide he has to blink, because like if he has evidence that wholly indisputably puts Trump, you know, in jail, let's say.
Right.
Like, given the composition of our Supreme Court, given the composition of our Senate, like the, you know, end of society is he puts that shit out and nothing happens.
Right.
Like, it, you know, that's it. That's a wrap on representative democracy.
Right.
And arguably maybe that was also the wrap on Iran-Contra. Like, look, maybe it's been a wrap, but, you know, this will be it.
Yeah,
when he puts shit out there and they're like, we don't care. And Mitch McConnell's like, we don't care. And, you know, the Supreme Court's like, it's good. Then what do we do? Like, nothing. Then we'd fully have a dictatorship.
Right.
That's it.
Right. We're making a show about the possibility of a second American Civil War with Robert Evans from Behind the Bastards. And one of the clips in there, just, it's amazing. You have to hear it when the show eventually comes out. It's going to be a really good show. But one of the clips in there has people on the right, I think it's Alex Jones and somebody from the NRA, talking about basically like the streets will run red with blood if Trump is impeached.
Yeah.
So yeah, on their side, they're ready to like, they're ready to go, man.
I think it's even potentially less, like, it doesn't even have to be a civil war though. It's like, if Trump is impeached, nothing happens, and then we shrug and we don't know what to do.
Right.
I don't even know if it's like a piece of like, you know, outward civil war immediately. It doesn't
I for one am gonna take to the streets and fall down and start crying.
Yeah. I for one, again, our Canadian overlords, please save us.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I can't wait for Red Army peacekeepers to finally arrive on the shores of Los Angeles.
And I'm giving a bouquet of flowers to a Canadian Mountie.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back, and so is the Frozen franchise. Did I nail it or what, guys?
Oh, I'm so stoked for Elsa and
Ursula.
And Ursula, Ellen, you know, mm-hmm. Let it snow.
Anna.
Anna Karenina. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, this is big. I'm so old, and I don't mm-hmm. know about DreamWorks or Disney things.
Mm-hmm. DreamWorks. I think that's the first time somebody went DreamWorks before Disney.
Yeah. What is up with your brain, dog?
You know, just well, been playing too much at the Kino Lounge.
They released a teaser for Frozen 2. Frozen 1 basically took over the world back in 2013. It was... especially if you had children back then, that's all you heard was.
But only
children.
Back then.
Mm-hmm. Back then, yes, mm-hmm. exactly. That's all you heard was the let it go. I was going to say let it snow.
Let it snow.
Mm-hmm. Let it snow. So they released the trailer for Frozen 2. It immediately became the most watched animated film trailer ever. And it's dark, weirdly. It looks like they're going like Empire Strikes Back or. You know, Harry Potter franchise that grows up with its audience type thing.
Oh.
Because, yeah, there's
like... you're 12 now.
Right.
And I think you're ready to talk about this kind of shit.
I felt like they took shots from the cold open of Annihilation.
Yeah.
It's real.
Wait,
it's really?
They said
real
it's heavily influenced by Annihilation.
Really? Seriously, it looks like it's so creepy.
Yeah. I mean, Frozen was sporadically dark. Like, it had a really dark moment. Like, it had... this generation's Bambi's mom getting shot moment when their parents just like are in a boat that just gets swallowed by a huge wave. And this teaser opens with her like running into a sea that looks very similar to that and trying to use her ice powers to like surf on it or something. But anyways, it just seems like they're really reveling in what's dark and violent about the Frozen universe, which is interesting.
All right.
Trying to steal the kids for the inevitable civil war that our country's going to be involved
exactly.
in. So get ready, kids.
Get your ice powers ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to check in with Newsweek real quick.
They need to get it fucking together.
This is, guys.
I don't.
Newsweek, it's time to take a look at yourselves.
On Twitter, Reddit, this just headline went viral because when you clipped it out, it was just saying, "Snake bites man. Man bites wife so they can die together. Wife survives."
So, Miles, you read that out loud.
Yo, just off the fucking headline, I'm questioning the science of and the feasibility of a scenario in which, I guess if you love the transitive property.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm bit by snake.
Yeah,
I
have
am
snake, snake powers now.
I bite you. Mm-hmm. You are snake
right.
and
it's
die.
Zombie mm-hmm. movie logic or, mm-hmm. you know, right, the transitive property.
But this article goes on, right? Let me just read the, because it's quick and it's absurd. It says, "A man in India who was attacked by a poisonous snake bit his wife's wrist because his final wish was for them to die together. Shankar Rai was asleep in his home around 60 miles north, blah, blah, blah. He was attacked by a serpent. By the morning, his condition had worsened. Fearing he did not have much time left, he held his wife's hand and said he wanted them to be united in death. He sunk his teeth into her wrist so the venom would kill them both, and they fell unconscious," India Today reported. "Witnesses described how doctors arrived and rushed him to the hospital. Although the venom claimed the life of Rai, his wife was rescued in time."
Rescued from
what? His fucking dirty ass teeth?
Tetanus. Right.
And the bacteria on his fucking front teeth?
But that's the thing. Newsweek does not even question that. They just accept the logic of this India Today story. And they're just like, okay.
Also,
I guess snake bites are passed on by bite.
Well, also,
by human bite.
Newsweek had no link to the original article, so I had to Google that shit. This article is from 2017.
Yes.
Yeah. And they just published this shit.
This is like 50 different blog spam sins rolled up in one.
And there's like literal word for word verbatim plagiarism happening in this Newsweek write-up too. I don't know what happened.
Who's the author of the Newsweek?
Brendan Cole.
Brendan Cole.
Brendan Cole, bro, we caught you cheating on your homework, or maybe you're just an algorithm because these fucking news sites don't hire humans anymore, and they're just like, let's just recycle.
It's the robot that calls the news.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm hoping there's maybe a magical snake that gives you venomous saliva or something. Because even in the article, when they go, they turn in the article to start talking about snakes. I'm like, okay, maybe here's the part where they explain how this is possible. They just go like, the World Health Organization says like a majority of venomous snakes live in Southeast Asia.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it.
What the fuck does that mean?
I guess there's rabies, but nobody has ever thought that snake venom is passed on like rabies.
I don't
right?
know yeah. what it's just weird.
Yeah,
it's just weird. And I was really mesmerized by the headline. I laughed.
Yeah,
because in my mind I was like, come on, bro, she didn't die. Also, even the line where it says he sunk his teeth into her wrist so the venom would kill them and they fell unconscious,
right, stated with no comment.
You know, all those you know, all those videos where you see somebody in a street fight bite someone on the wrist and they're knocked out,
right?
Yeah,
what the fuck.
I assume she was just being nice.
Or no, this story,
this story
is, fake.
Is made up by India Today.
Well, they got it from Gulf News, so then I had to take it to the next level of the Inception dream.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it was from a website called Gulf News and under their India section. And again, that was even, like, you could tell even the India Today was ripping this article off.
So this is clearly, like, viral marketing for scary stories to tell in the dark.
Right.
I guess.
Something.
Andrew, I honestly think the logic of this story is too stupid for scary stories to tell in the dark. I honestly believe that. Like, you, if this happened in a children's, like, spooky story movie, people would be like, wait, what the fuck?
Huh?
Like, that, but that's not how snake bites work. Like, this wouldn't work in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Even Frozen 2, which is dark.
Right.
I think even a kid's general curiosity, they would probably flag this at first and be like, but how did the man become a venom mouth?
Mm-hmm. Look, as somebody with kids, I found that offensive, your impression of them.
Yeah, well, kids are stupid, bro. I'm sorry. I'm smarter than kids.
Any kid is smarter than this dumbass algorithm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Should
we try and find Brendan Cole on Twitter and just be like, my man, what are you doing?
Hire reporters.
Zeitgang. Talk to Brendan Cole.
Yeah.
Find him on Twitter. Ask him. Let's try and get comment from Brendan Cole about what he was thinking. I'm sure he's going to be like, obviously, we were doing it tongue in cheek. But nah, man.
I also have not washed my hands in 10 years.
Right.
To add to that, super producer Nick Stuff, the thing he likes is that somehow the timing of the bite was so perfect that the venom overcame the man who was the original bitee. And then bit his wife in such a way that she passed out at the same time, double knockout style.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like they bonked heads together and both get knocked out. Or the end of Rocky 2. Wait, he bit her and they both immediately fell
and
unconscious.
Honestly,
you're going to bite the ground.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to jump.
There's going to be two bites.
I don't want to jump to conclusions. And I'm hoping that there's some kind of reptilologist in the Zeitgang who goes, actually, there is a snake.
Herpetologist,
that could make
I think.
Your is that a snake?
I believe
a snake studiers.
Maybe that'd be reptile.
I'm okay,
not
great,
look it up.
Guys. I'm calling reptile dysfunction on this story. Okay, I hate myself and yes, Zeitgang, talk to this.
Wow, latent bomb.
The latest latent bomb yet, and deservedly so.
I mean, just so you know, a past article this intrepid journalist has written was tattooist illegally split tongue, removed nipple and ear.
Okay.
So
now we're going to have to call all of his work into question.
Mm-hmm.
I was going around believing that story in my day-to-day life. briefly, the Oscars are continuing to be just a complete shit show. They are trying to fuck with the format so much. First of all, as we already know, not having a host, they were going to try to have only two of the five nominated songs performed, and the Academy had to walk that back when Lady Gaga said she wouldn't perform unless all nominees were included, as is customary. And then they were going to not have last year's winners present the acting categories, which again, these are not things that like I would notice, but they are things that like, it's like, why would you... Why would you choose to go out on a limb this year when you've just fucked everything up about this award show? And it seems like they're kind of in that panic mode where they're overcorrecting. They're like, we got to get more celebrities out there.
We got to make it shorter.
We got to make it shorter. Yeah, that's the other thing. They're trying to make it shorter. So they've moved cinematography, film editing, as well as makeup and hair to the commercials. So those awards will be given out during commercials, presumably so they can fit in more, you know, just celebrities being celebrities.
Some more dilly-dilly ads.
Being pretty instead of, you know, those ugly cinematographers. But Alfonso Cuarón pointed out in a tweet, he was like, there have been films without sound, without color, without a story, without actors, without music. No film has ever existed without cinematography and without editing, motherfucker. Those are the two things that are inherent to our art form. Like, don't cut those out. But that decision has not been reversed.
They better. I mean, because everyone is pissed about that. Yeah. It's been like every director is like, how the fuck are you? What?
Is this the place to air out the conspiracy theory about
this?
Is that because it's a ABC broadcast, right?
Go on.
And am I being played off?
You're being played on.
And if I recall, the third hand conspiracy theory I heard is Disney, Marvel, ABC Corporation, whatever the parent company is, I guess it's Disney, doesn't have nominees in those categories.
Those are
the disposable
in cinematography
categories.
Cinematography and editing?
Evidently.
Huh.
I didn't verify this.
I thought it was juicier, man. I thought it had to do with like Illuminati stuff.
That's Illuminati.
That's corporations banging the way they do.
That's low level.
I like how I'm
television
like yawning.
Programming.
Like,
right.
I was hoping something much more.
That's what I heard.
The bad news for all of us is that all of our Illuminati conspiracies are true. It's just instead of being Jay-Z and Beyonce, it's fucking Disney.
It's Bob Iger.
ESPN. It's just way uglier people. Way less cool. Less cool shit.
Or is it just, are they constantly causing all this trouble to give the perceived, like, this is about to be a fire festival.
Right.
Just wait and see. And then so everyone, like, with Schadenfreude fully activated, tunes in to be like, ooh, this is going to be a mess.
Right. They keep fucking up to keep the Oscars in the headlines because there's no other way to put the Oscars in the headlines because nobody gives a shit about the Oscars unless the Oscars are fucking up, is a theory that I have actually seen put out there that might be true. I mean, it doesn't make sense that they would be shortening it just because they think people like shorter more. Their most popular Academy Awards, like the most watched Academy Awards ever, was where James Cameron won all of them for Titanic and said, I'm the king of the world. That was the most watched ever, and it was one of the longest ever.
Wasn't it like 20 years ago?
Yeah. It was 2000.
Damn, they haven't topped themselves in 20 years?
But that's just like the exact linear decline of
TV
watching.
Right? Yeah. I mean, but it's like they have had peaks where they were among the longest ever.
Right.
And I think the other thing people point to is that everybody had seen the Titanic, whereas, you know, last year was the least watched and not a lot of people had seen The Shape of Water. But it also could be them freaking out about something that is inevitable, which is the decline of how many people are watching.
I hope it's an actual mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I also feel bad for people who will win that night because I don't want that memory to be marred for them when they achieve. But part of me is also like, I want to see this be a mess.
It's not that big of a deal. They're still a movie star.
You get your statue anyway. They're not going to give a fuck about how bad everything was on either side of them.
I think, like most things in the TV business, it's wholly reactive and usually one whatever the cycle is behind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like since the Oscars is on a yearly cycle, or if they want to look at it broadly, like a decade long or whatever, like I think they're obviously just trying to make it shorter because ABC wants to give as little airtime to this fucking like lead pelican.
Right.
Lead albatross? What's a bad thing to have hanging around from your neck?
That's my favorite
band. Led Zeppelin? AKA?
But you know what I mean? Like it's ultimately, it's because no one actually wants to put it on.
Right.
Because they could be rerunning fucking Masked Singer or whatever.
That's true. That's who should host it, a Masked Singer.
Oh, the Masked Host.
Is that on ABC?
No, I don't know.
And then it turns out it's Louis C.K.
Oh, yep.
But it doesn't matter. We can't get mad because we only find out at the end.
Yeah. And the mask is over his dick, of course.
Right. Yes, yeah. Yes. That is the way that we all identify.
And everyone forgot the Beatles right? were a band.
Oh, God.
Do we have a quick second to talk about that trailer?
We talked about it yesterday.
I was confused. No, go on. Hot take. Go. Quick.
I mean, my hot take is like, yeah. That music wouldn't be popular today if everyone just forgot about it, which is fine. Yeah. Like, people, shit, tastes move on.
Yeah.
It's okay. Don't hang on to the Beatles, baby boomers.
Remember Dippin' Dots?
Listen to some Skrillex.
I thought that was the new ice cream.
Yeah.
Some Skrillex. That's actually what the movie should be about. The guy, like, no one's heard dubstep.
Right.
And he's like, whoa, what the fuck's this dubstep? Oh, my God.
It would be better if it was the entire genre of rap. And then he, like...
And it's Ed Sheeran.
Right. Yeah. Because there is a theory that says that if the New York City blackout had never happened, rap never would have been invented. And the only reason the New York City blackout happened was because somebody hit the wrong key on a computer. So it's like that split of a universe. There's probably like 99 out of 100 parallel dimensions where rap does not exist.
And I invented in 2019.
Right.
But I'd be
know what I mean?
I'd be a doo-wop head still.
Right.
It'd be a real problem.
Andrew and I would be on the corner doing shoo-be-doo.
Around a trash can fire
because our democracy has crumbled as well.
That's my favorite part of A Bronx Tale. It starts, he's like, it was the 50s. There was a doo-wop group on every corner. It's like, no, there wasn't, motherfucker.
Where are you, Motown?
You've just seen movies set during that time. Andrew, it's been a pleasure having you as always, man. Where
Thanks
can people find
me.
You?
Most importantly, you can find me in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, Oregon at Revolution Hall at 4:30 p.m. This Saturday. Tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, come. There's still a couple tickets left. Come. It will be fun. We promise.
What are you doing up there?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we're just doing Yo's This Racist Live. Thank you for getting me to actually promote the thing. Yo's This Racist, a podcast I host with Tawny Newsome.
One of the great really podcasts, funny. One of the podcasts that originally made me interested in the media. Yeah, go check it out, guys, if you haven't already. It's an amazing show. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, this one is less comedy, but Emily Heller a couple days ago tweeted, is it just me or should cashless restaurants be super illegal? And it kicked off so much fucking conversation. But yeah, I 100%. This cash, not accepting cash
is classist
and racist and all that shit.
Not accepting cash. Yeah,
yeah.
Fuck that. Miles, where can people find you?
Some people don't have credit cards, my man.
And it's disproportionately people of color and like marginalized people. Yeah.
Oh, me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like. Let's do a couple. One, first is from Nate Fernald, right over there at Late Late Show with James Corden. He says, people think I'm weak when they see me dab the grease off my pizza with a napkin. But then I blow their fucking minds when I eat the dang napkin.
Can I tell you this? I almost selected that one, too.
Oh, really?
That is so good. So
Shout
funny.
Out to Nate.
So funny.
The next one's from Sarah Schauer, at SJ Schauer, S-C-H-A-U-E-R. Says, condoms are single-use plastics, and that's why I don't use them. Gotten pregnant 6 times, but hey, the oceans are now marginally cleaner.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I've been enjoying is from Gareth Reynolds, co-host of The Dollop and director of that Godzilla movie and Monsters. That's not true. He tweeted, all you can eat pancakes is still roughly 4 pancakes. Not a deal. And you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that
going
to be?
Yeah, nice. Today we're going to go out on a bit of a J. Dilla-esque beat here. By the artist ASO, A-S-O, and it's called Inside All Day. You know, I like that little boom bap. And also, it was J Dilla's birthday a little bit ago, last week. And I just want to shout that beat maker out. But this, you know, Inside All Day is kind of how we're living right now in L.A. because we're getting so much rain.
Oof.
Couldn't even walk my dog without getting washed away in the streets because I live in a floodplain. Shout out to the L.A. city planners.
People are feeling so sorry for us right now.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of the country.
It was like, it's like the high, it only got up to 60 today.
I know.
I can't live like this.
We did get our rain for the year, right?
Yeah, we were at 80% of our annual rainfall, I think, like last week.
Yeah.
Tight. Which means more brush that will dry out and create more fires. Baby, we love the rain. Oh, but also probably super bloom, though.
Yeah.
Right? There'll be a super bloom.
That'll be nice for a second.
Yeah, that's good for the gram.
Man, when all these climates change and we just like have like all of a sudden LA has Seattle's weather,
right,
we're gonna be pretty pissed off.
And like you could ski in like Griffith Park down the hill, like Runyon becomes like a ski trail.
could you imagine? All right, we're gonna ride out on that and into the weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will be back on Tuesday because Monday is President's Day and we honor our presidents, especially
every
current
one.
That's who we're really all honoring,
right? President Vladimir Putin.
Yes. All right. Have a great long weekend. Or weekend.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.